There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one.
Good morning. Welcome to a radio message of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. We are a new church on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. We have a mission to glorify God and make disciples by using Bible-centered teaching to build a community that worships God, grows in His Word, serves others, and plants churches. Join us for our Sunday morning gathering at 11:15 a.m. and Wednesdays for our prayer meetings at 6 p.m. at Exmoor Baptist Church Outreach Center at 11624 Ockahonic Neck Road, Exmoor, Virginia, 23350. We would love to hear from you. If you have questions or have a prayer request, please contact us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com or call us at 757-710-6843. Now, let's get into this week's message. We pray that you and your family are blessed by the teaching from God's Word.
Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Psalm 33, verse 4 and 5 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." It is a joy and privilege. It is to share a message today from God's Word, from John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 10. Title of the message is, "I am the gate for the sheep." Again, this message will be coming from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Before the message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Father, loving Father, our holy Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to give you all the praise. Forgive us for any sins that we have committed. Help us to grow in godly character so we can look more like your son, Jesus. Help us to hear the words of scripture clearly. Teach us what it means and how you desire for us to apply it in our lives. May your will be done today. May we yield to your Holy Spirit in all things, even now. In all things, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in the sermon series of the seven I am statements of Jesus, I am excited to share about the third statement. In the first I am statement in John chapter 6, verse 25 through 59, you will find where Jesus said, "I am the bread." In other words, Jesus said that he is the sustainer of life, the sustenance, the one we go to for true nourishment, not for just a meal to satisfy us on today, but a meal that will satisfy us for eternity. Also, we looked at the second I am statement in John chapter 9, where Jesus said, "I am the light." As the light, Jesus illuminates the darkness, penetrates darkness. Where he brings in light, the light brings new life, life that is eternal. If you are interested in hearing any of these previous sermon messages on the seven I am statements, please visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Click on the worship tab, and then you should be able to find what you're looking for. Today, as we look at the third I am statement of Jesus, "I am the gate for the sheep," or your Bible may say, "I am the door." Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Reading from the New King James translation of the Bible, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus uses illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that I may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. As we look in the scripture on today, this statement, I am the door. We want to continue to celebrate Jesus as Savior, as Sustainer, as Satisfier. Looking at verse 1, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, this is a continuation from John chapter 9, and it's important to recognize and to understand who Jesus is talking to here. As we go back to John chapter 9, verses 40 and 41, it says, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Here, Jesus is continuing his conversation, his direct talk to the Pharisees, a group of powerful religious leaders of that time. These were the ones who once accused him of healing on the Sabbath, who accused him of doing wrong, and accused him of blaspheming. Basically, these Pharisees were threatened by Jesus because they did not like the fact that people were listening to him, following his teachings, and ultimately a threat to their religious reign of power as they knew it. It was no doubt that the Pharisees were jealous of him. And continuing his conversation with the Pharisees here in John chapter 10, the first 6 verses, Jesus goes through an illustration to demonstrate to them, to help them to better understand and see how blind they actually were to the truth. Unfortunately, even after Jesus shared this illustration, verse 6 tells us that the Pharisees remained in their blindness and did not understand the things which he spoke to them about. In this story, Jesus told them, he talked to them about the things that were relevant in their culture, this culture where they would have been familiar with, a life surrounding sheep. Jesus begins and says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, or in this text, it may say the sheep gate, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. A sheepfold or sheep gate is a type of enclosure, a type of structure that is intended to protect the sheep, to keep them from wandering out, but also to keep predators from wandering in. These sheepfolds were built of stone, about 3 to 4 feet high, and there was one opening. And at the opening, there was a gatekeeper. Usually the shepherd or some of the shepherds would hire a person to be at the gate. This person would lay down at the gate, being a human shield. Jesus says that he who does not enter by the gate, those who choose to go another way, those who choose to climb over the fence or dig under, they are called thieves and robbers. Now, a thief and a robber may seem like the same thing, but since Jesus used both words, there must be some type of distinguishment to be made. If we further study the original Greek language of the text, we find out that a thief, in its original definition, is called embezzler. An imposter, more like a fake. In addressing the Pharisees here, Jesus is specifically comparing the thief to that of the Pharisees. Jesus is referring to them as well as others who were guilty of false teachings, also those who did not care for those that they were instructing, but instead abused them for their own gain. In addition, a robber closely related to a thief. A robber steals or removes things by violence or a severe way. Whenever something does not belong to someone and they want to acquire it without permission, they always go about it in some illegal or some violent way to take it. This is because they have no right to it. Jesus says that the doorkeeper is the one that opens and closes the door. The doorkeeper is the one that allows the way into the sheepfold. The doorkeeper is the one who provides permission to have access to the sheep within the sheep gate. In verse 2, Jesus talks about the shepherd. The shepherd is one who cares, the one who guides, the one who protects. We will look more at the shepherd as we study the next I am statement. I am the good shepherd in verses 11 through 21 in the next sermon message in this series. But now focusing on verse 1 through 10, we see that there is a deep contrast throughout the text. A contrast between the thieves and the robbers being compared to the shepherd. The thief and the robber who has no right, who does not care, who only has selfish ambition. Versus the shepherd who has the right, who cares, who only has a selfless ambition. We know of this selfless ambition because the shepherd is willing to lay down their life for the sheep. Verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follows him, for they know his voice. The reason why the Pharisees were mad at Jesus was because people were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to follow Jesus because they knew him personally and that he loved them. He knew them by name. They had read the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the scriptures. They knew that he was the Messiah. When they heard his voice, they followed him. These Pharisees who had exerted power all these many years by putting all these heavy burdens, by beating them over the head with all these religious laws, as well as their own made up laws, constantly letting them know what they did wrong. They even imposed additional punishments and penalties that would benefit them and put further burden and stress upon the people. In essence, these Pharisees were trying to gain power over them that they had no right to, living up to them being the thieves and a robber of the sheep. In verse 4, there is something we need to take note of about the shepherd. A shepherd goes before them. A shepherd leads, and the sheep will always follow. This is opposite of what these false teachers, such as the Pharisees, were doing. They were not leading. They were pushing. They were coercing. They were trying to manipulate. And they did this because they were not true leaders. They did not know their voice. We have an issue today in our culture. There are a lot of voices that we hear. We have a lot of channels in which we hear things. We have family members who speak to us. We have friends who speak to us. We have television shows who speak to us. We have pastors and other spiritual counselors who speak to us. We have YouTube, internet ads, songs, as well as images on billboards, on the roadways that speak to us. There are so many things that speak to us, and we have an issue because oftentimes we don't know which voice that we should be following. There's a lot of confusion. This confusion is rooted in the fact that many of us truly do not know his voice, the voice of Jesus. We must seek the voice of Jesus in the one true source, where we can be sure without a shadow of a doubt that one source is the Bible. We must make it a priority to read the Bible, meditate on the Bible, and study the Bible. We must submit to the authority of what the Bible says because it is the inspired word of God. Without reading and recognizing God's word as the true authority, we open up ourselves to be confused and to be misled by other voices. To recognize the voice, you must spend time with that one, Jesus. I have a son. Whenever he hears my voice, maybe on the radio or something, he immediately stops what he is doing and brings attention to the fact that he hears my voice. It is funny to me because sometimes I don't even recognize my own voice. But when my son hears my voice, he knows without a doubt, he lets everyone know that he hears my voice. This is because of our close relationship, the fact that we spend a lot of time together, not just any time, but intentional quality time. You may be able to relate based off of a close relationship that you have. The point of the matter is to hear the voice of the true shepherd Jesus, you must seek a close relationship with him. Spending a lot of time with the Bible will help you with that. The sheep and the shepherd, they have such a close relationship. The Pharisees, they didn't have a close relationship because they created distance. They created distance with their religious traditions. They created distance because they wanted to create hierarchy. Jesus didn't want to create that distance. He wanted to draw the people upon himself. He wanted to draw the people out of that religion, but into a relationship. In particular, Judaism. That is the religion that he wanted to pull them out of. Verse 6 says that they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. They did not understand because they did not know his voice. And they did not know his voice because they were not really his. That is the question for all of us. Do we hear his voice? Do we understand his ways? Are we truly his? It is important for all of us to evaluate the shepherds of our day. Talking about the pastors, the elders, the leaders of congregations in these churches. In our spiritual leadership, are we able to clearly see that our leader is submitting to our Heavenly Father? Are we able to discern that our spiritual leaders hear the voice of Jesus and they spend time in the Bible? Do our spiritual leaders show evidence that they are yielding to the Spirit? Do our leaders speak truthfully about God's promises and take their role as leaders seriously by being an example for the flock, by leading and not abusing them? Are these valid things to ask and take into serious consideration? I would say so. We must evaluate our shepherds. Verse 7 says, then Jesus said to them again, still speaking to the Pharisees, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. He did not say that I am one of the doors. In other words, he did not say I am One of the ways he says that I am the door. That's important. And that is very offensive to people. That there is only one way. And we have a saying that there is more than one way to skin a cat or something like that, right? In other words, there's always another option. If you don't do it this way, you can go another way. But we have seemed to adopt that also for salvation. And that's not true. That is a lie. Jesus is the only way. And this truth is hard to hear for some people. This statement is extremely offensive to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Christians cannot try to sugarcoat or try to ease people's uncertainty or try not to be unconfrontational by watering down the truth, by shying away from what you believe. Christians must be firm and steadfast in knowing and proclaiming that Jesus is the way. Christians must not be silent. When you are silent, you're still withholding or omitting the truth. Omission is still committing sin. Jesus says that I am the door. So in other words, in order to get to the sheep, it has to go through him. In order to come into the fold, it has to be through him. There is no other way to enter into eternal life in heaven outside of Jesus. Jesus is the only way, even if we may do things that are good. For example, getting baptized does not get you into the fold. That is because baptism is an outward profession of an already made inward profession. Also, partaking of communion does not allow you to enter into the fold. It is a symbol also. Doing good works, being very hospitable or charitable, or being the most loving person in the neighborhood does not get you into the fold. It is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledging what he did on the cross, repenting of your sins, celebrating the fact that he rose again with all power, and following him in all his ways, and most definitely obeying his commands. And as always, being a witness of the good news of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the Great Commission here on the earth, as long as God gives you that opportunity. In verse 8, it says, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him." There were many people who came before Jesus proclaiming to be the Messiah, proclaiming to be the Son of God. They were imposers. Verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door." Again, it says, "I am the door." And saying that he is the door, Jesus is saying, "I am the one that brings salvation to the one who chose to come to me, to come through me. If anyone enters by way of me, he will be saved." The question that must be asked and understood is, what are we saved from? Through Jesus Christ, we are saved from death, a spiritual death that is spending an eternity in hell and torment and anguish away from God. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Jesus is the door. Regardless of what anyone says about Jesus, you can be confident that if you believe in him, you will be saved. And not only will you be saved in eternal life, but you will also have the benefits here in this physical. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a church building. Christianity is the person Jesus. So when we say that we are Christians, we are Jesus followers. As a Jesus follower, we should exhibit those characteristics of being loving, not self-seeking, being bold, being committed to the Father, and ultimately dying to self. Verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Remember here, it is referred in verse 1, the thief. This is still a reference to, in this context, the Pharisees or any other false teacher or any other false prophet that came to benefit or to take advantage of the sheep, to not care for them, but to harm them and to destroy them. And we know ultimately that the ultimate thief, the ultimate adversary is Satan. And we can trace every scheme, every trick, and every deception to Satan. And there's no middle road. There's no gray area. Jesus is the only way, the narrow way. Any other way, any way under, any way over, any way through, outside of Jesus is by way of Satan. Oftentimes, they would get in, the thieves would get into the sheepfold. Even though they would get in, it doesn't change the fact that they didn't belong there. This is because when they did go to the sheepfold, they did not have the best intentions. Unfortunately, if we reflect back on our lives, I'm speaking to those who believe in Christ, and we recall the days before Christ when we thought we were living our best life, indulging in life's sinful pleasures and feeding the lust of our flesh. If we are honest, you will admit that you were only living for Satan, the ultimate thief and robber. We were hanging out with the one who only had the intention to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. We who are no longer under the power of Satan should rejoice and give God all the glory and praise. But also, being eternally grateful to God, it should drive us into action, an action of compassion to those who are still entrapped by the enemy. That's why it's so important when people are under the bondage of sin, which comes in various forms, such as addictions, idol worship, and more. It's important to pray for them and seek God in intercession on their behalf. This even includes those who once knew the Lord, but they have strayed away. We have to intercede for them also. It is so important for us to have a compassionate heart, because they are being tormented and they don't even know it. They are being destroyed and they don't even know it. Those who may no longer be under that bondage and are now free in Christ must understand that it is only by the grace of God that we are able to recognize His voice. It is not because that we are smart or that we are better than them. It is only by the grace of God. The fact that He has allowed us to recognize His voice, in other words, He has elected us to recognize His voice. We should share the truth with them, and we should continue to labor in the spiritual realm for them, praying for them, being willing to share God's truth with them. And the latter part of verse 10, it says, I have come that they may have life. Jesus said, I didn't come to kill you. I have come to give you life. And I didn't come to just give you any type of life, but to give you abundant life. An abundant life that is rich for kingdom purposes. Yes, an abundant life by way of eternity in heaven, but an abundant life here on earth, full of peace, full of joy, full of hope. Jesus is the one who sustains us. He is the one who saves us. Jesus is the door. We must continue to show people the door. More accurately spoken, we must show people who is the door. I don't know about your home, but in most of our homes, we have walkways or some type of steps or something that signifies where the door is. These walkways or steps provide direction to those who enter our properties and who may not be familiar with the way to enter the house. We have to be those walkways and steps for people and showing them the door. In other words, Jesus. This can be done by way of how we live our lives. We need to point people to where the door is. We have to deflect anything from ourselves and point to Jesus in our speech. The way that we treat others, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we live privately, the way that we live with integrity. All of this is important in pointing people to Jesus, the one who is the door, the only way. In this world of options, there's only one option for eternal life, and that is Jesus. We cannot, and we shall not, and we will not, as long as we submit our lives in accordance to these biblical standards, fray away from that. There's no other standard. And that's why when we think about the work of Jesus on the cross, think about the penalty of death that He paid for the sins of all of mankind, and then Him rising from the dead, celebrating Him not just on Easter Sunday, but each and every day of the year, is a privilege to think about Him, the one who gave His life, and that He is who He said He is, and He has proven who He said He is to be. He is the door each and every day, every moment, every second, ready to receive, ready to let people in who are willing to accept the invitation. And we have an opportunity, those of us that are within the sheepfold, to point people to the door and lead people away from the door of arrogance, but by love, lead them to the door of eternal life by way of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being the door, for showing us the way, providing us a way of eternal life, and for keeping us from eternal death. And always showing us what to look for and how to be aware of deception and false leading, false teaching in many different forms. Christ is the Savior. He is our sustainer. He is our satisfier. The question is, do you know Jesus for yourself? What I mean by this is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you believe that God, the creator of heaven and earth, is a righteous God and also a holy God? Because He is a holy God, then He cannot tolerate sin and therefore must punish sin. The Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and still sin. Because of our sin, we deserve to die a spiritual death. However, God in His great love sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins to pay the penalty that none of us could pay on our own. Jesus died on the cross but was raised from the dead by the Father on the third day, meaning that death is defeated for once and for all for those who choose believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. To accept Jesus as your Lord, you must believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth and repent of your sin. Repentance is necessary because you cannot continue to live in sin and say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. So again, the question is Jesus your Lord and Savior? If you have already made that decision, then you need to continue to live according to your confession. If you have just made that decision, you need to connect with a local Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Maybe that church is Shore Community Bible Fellowship. We would love to come alongside you and be the family to help you grow in your faith and live in the purposes that God has destined for you. If that is you, call us at 757-710-6843 or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org and fill out a prayer request card with your information and we will connect with you. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this message today. Thank you that even though people lied on your son Jesus and killed him on the cross, your will was still done and your purpose is fulfilled that he would rise from the dead. His resurrection is the assurance that we have salvation in him. We thank you. Forgive us for denying your son Jesus with how we choose to live at times. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. I pray all things that was said and done is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Clarence Bell III, church planter of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, or have decided to make Jesus as Lord of your life, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843. Or visit our website at shorecommunitybible.org. Also, I invite you to join us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, or 6 p.m. on Wednesdays in the Fellowship Hall of the main building of Exmoor Baptist Church, located at the corner of Akahana and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in His Word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.